So my name is Marion, and I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you all for coming today. It's nice to see everybody. So kind of like Kathy, as I was preparing for this, I just thought about, what does unity mean? So I'm kind of a researcher kind of person, so the first thing I did was just look up the word unity. What does it mean? So when I looked it up, it said, unity is the state or condition of being one. The combining or joining of separate things or entities to form one. Harmony of opinion. So I really like that, joining of separate things to form one. The other thing I did is to find out what the history of Unity Day is. So I emailed the World Service Office just to find out how it got started, because it helps me just to know what the history of things are in the context. So according to OA's website, Unity Day is a day to recognize the strength of the fellowship worldwide. OA members pause on this day to reaffirm the strength inherent in OA's unity. So it started in 1986. It was originally celebrated the third Saturday of January, but in 1996 was changed to the last Saturday of February. And it originally started to celebrate the original founding of OA on January 19th, 1960. So when they first started it in 1986, I guess there used to be something called a step ahead that was like a, it was kind of like Lifeline, I guess, something similar. It was like a newsletter. So this is the announcement. OA Unity Day to be held February 15th, and this is from 1986. At 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, February 15th, 1986, OA members and groups around the world will observe a moment of silence and a fellowship-wide rededication to Tradition 1. In each of OA's 9 regions, groups and intergroups are planning a variety of Unity Day events, ranging from simple gatherings of a few OA friends to weekend retreats. This is my favorite part. The idea for the celebration came out of a meeting of regional chairpersons at the 1985 World Service Conference. After hearing discussions centering on issues that tend to divide us, the thought occurred, why not focus on things that unite us? So I'm going to read that sentence again. After hearing discussions centering on issues that tend to divide us, the thought occurred, why not focus on things that unite us? Our common bond, recovery from compulsive overeating, is so much greater than all our differences put together. And I just think that's really powerful, because when you're in the middle of a difficult discussion, who really has the wherewithal to take a step back and say, wow, let's talk about what unites us, not what divides us. I mean, I think that's beautiful. The other thing I did is I was just curious of, what does our unity consist of? Who are we? Who is OA? So this is from 2010. This was also on OA's website. This is from a survey they did in 2010. So 93% of us are white, 3% of us are African American, and 1% of us are Latino. So obviously we do not have much diversity, which I think we need to work on. 85% of us have at least some college education. We come from various occupations, and the top 3 were retired, professional and technical, and educators. 31% of us were introduced to OA by a friend, family member, or coworker. 16% of us found OA through another 12-step program, and 14% of us found OA through a current OA member. I was kind of surprised that online didn't make the top 3. Because I go online for everything, but the majority of us were between the ages of 26 and 45 when we found OA. 82% of us were overweight when we arrived in OA. 72% of us have a sponsor, and I really like this statistic. So 78% of us have gone through a relapse, but of those of us that have relapsed, 82% of us continue to attend meetings even in the midst of our relapse. To me, that's about resilience, and that's about unity. In the midst of a relapse, 82% of us, even though we were in the pain and the throes of food, came back to meetings, continue to come to meetings. And to me, that's the definition of unity, that we accept people no matter where they are. We're 87% female and only 13% male. We have 6,500 meetings in over 80 countries, so that's a little bit of what our diversity and our unity consists of. So when I think about unity, what comes to my mind is tradition one. So I'm going to be reading a little bit out of the 12 and 12 today. So, you know, tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. So what that says to me is I cannot have personal recovery unless OA is unified, unless there is OA unity. And I wanted to read a quote. So this is from tradition one. Thus, the unity of OA is a matter of life and death to us. That's a big deal. It's a matter of life and death. However, unity isn't always easy to maintain. OA members come from diverse backgrounds. We just read about the diverse backgrounds. And in meetings, we sometimes encounter people very different from us in their approaches to recovery. Often, our first impulse is to insist they are doing it all wrong. If we as individuals did not value the common welfare of the fellowship above our personal viewpoints, OA would soon split into argumentative factions and would lose the strength that comes from our union of many. So I think that kind of goes along with what Ruth just read, that unity is not uniformity. We are very diverse, and we all have differing ideas, but we're unified in our common bond of compulsive overeating. That's the only thing that matters here, is our common bond of compulsive overeating. And being unified is a matter of life and death. If we're not unified and OA splits up, where are we going to go? Where am I going to go? I'm not going to Weight Watchers, I can tell you that much. And you know, I used to travel a lot, and I used to go to meetings all over. And I know when I first started traveling, you know, I would go to a meeting and it would be different. Be different from what I was used to. I grew up in Louisiana and started going to meetings in Louisiana, and then I moved to Texas, and they were all different. And it's so easy to go to a meeting and think, they're not doing it right. This is not how my meeting does it. They don't read the steps together. They read the steps together. I mean, it's easy to, you know, find things that are different. And what I've learned having been to so many different meetings is they're all just, sorry to use a food reference, but they're all just different flavors, you know? They are different, and that's okay. And they're all different in their own way in the different regions of the country. And even all over the world, I went to a meeting once in Europe, and it was really different. But we're all unified again in that we are all in recovery together. And how beautiful is that? I want to read another quote. This does not mean that all OA members must agree on every issue regarding the operation of the fellowship. Disagreements about the activities of the group arise every day, and we have to find ways of resolving those disagreements without destroying the unity of our fellowship. What Tradition 1 suggests is that we give other people's opinions a respectful hearing. We express our own opinions honestly without belittling those who may disagree. As we listen and speak, we keep our minds and hearts open to our higher power's will in all matters. After the discussion is over and the group has made a decision, we don't allow any lingering feelings of conflict to divide the group. In OA, we resolve our differences of opinion by considering the welfare of the group as a whole. So I remember the first group conscience I went to, I think I was like 19. And it was my first year in college, and I had just never seen people talk to each other the way these people talk to each other. I just remember being kind of shell-shocked, sitting there, and they were trying to decide at this particular meeting. It was a big book meeting, and I think we had finished the big book, and we were trying to decide, do we go all the way back to the beginning? Do we just read the stories? And for whatever reason, that was a really big controversy. And then people said whatever they said, and I remember I had one opinion, and looking back, this lady wasn't ugly, but I perceived it that she was ugly to me at the time, but I was just 19. And then after the meeting, these two women that particularly went at each other got up and hugged, and I was like, wow, people do that? You know, like, people can actually have disagreements and still love each other? Because that certainly didn't happen in my family. I'd just never seen that before. And what a beautiful gift that was to see that we can disagree, but we can still love each other. And there's that line that we say to newcomers, I can't think of how it goes. You'll love it. Even though you might not like all of us, you'll come to love us in a very special way, the same way we already love you. And I think I saw that line come true that night, in the sense that they were sort of at each other. I perceived that they were at each other, and then they, you know, were hugging and carrying on. I mean, very loving to each other. So it's just really beautiful. So to me, again, that's another definition of unity, of being able to disagree. And the way that I take tradition one into my life is whenever I'm in a group and we're trying to make a decision, is I do exactly what that paragraph just said. I state my opinion, and then whatever the group decides. What I always say to myself is, whatever the group decides is what's going to be best for me. Whatever's best for the group is best for me. And I really have to trust that my higher power has my back, and that the group is going to do what's best for me. Whatever's best for the group is going to be best for me. So I use that sort of in my personal life, and then also with OA. And then I just want to read you a short story. Let's see. So members of the only OA group in a tiny Midwestern town had a conflict and found their way to unity. Meetings were attended by fewer than 10 people, and as with many small OA groups, one or two who had several years in the program kept the meetings going. One night, an OA who had recently moved to town showed up and told a dramatic story about her near death from compulsive overeating. She described how she had found OA in California and how OA and a food plan had saved her life. The small town OA members were very impressed when this woman told them about her weight loss in excess of 100 pounds, and were inspired by the light in her eyes and her obvious enthusiasm for the program. One person, however, who was the group's mainstay, got nervous when the transferred member talked about her food plan. The mainstay herself had experienced a miraculous recovery from compulsive eating, and she believed part of that miracle was that she had been freed from years of compulsive dieting and food planning. She used her discussion time to speak against the transferred member's food plan. Within weeks, factions had formed around the mainstay and the transferred member, and heated arguments about the use of the food plan dominated the meeting. This went on for several months with very hard feelings on both sides. Then one night in late summer, the mainstay and the transferred member found themselves the only two people to show up for the weekly OA meeting. After waiting for 10 minutes for a third person to arrive, they finally agreed to start the meeting with just the two of them. Together, they said the Serenity Prayer and began to follow the meeting format. Sitting face to face across the table, they took turns discussing their experience, strength, and hope. Little by little, their sharing became more honest. The mainstay found herself admitting to the transferred member how much she envied her recovery and how she'd felt upstaged. The transferred member talked with tears in her eyes of how scared she was of relapse, how she'd wanted to start a group like her old home group in California, but hadn't been able to find anybody else willing to join her. More than anything, she said, she needed understanding and support. She longed for the mainstay's strength and admired her experience with OA principles. Before the meeting was over, the transferred member and the mainstay had agreed to sponsor each other. When other group members returned to OA the following week, they found a whole new atmosphere. The transferred member hadn't given up her food plan, and the mainstay hadn't adopted it. They still had differing goals for their eating, but they now expressed support for each other in reaching those goals. Even more striking was the new note of love and acceptance in their voices when they shared their reasons for sticking with their differing approaches to abstinence. When some group members decided to use the food plan, the mainstay didn't try to dissuade them. When other people followed the philosophy of the mainstay, the transferred member didn't argue. They had found there was room for more than one approach to recovery in this little group. So I really like that story because it shows how different we can be. You know, there was the mainstay who didn't use a food plan and the new person from California who did want to use a food plan, and both were sort of preaching what worked for them.
Their unity, which was recovery.
And
they both wanted recovery.
And in the end, though, they were able to come together and find their unity, which was recovery. They both wanted recovery. So they were able to come together through their shared bond
with
recovery.
I think we've all been to group consciences that were ugly, right?
We've all really liked the story.
You know, the Saturday morning
meetings
had quite
a few. And, you know, I think we've all been to group consciences that were ugly, right? You know, the Saturday morning meetings had quite a few.
You know, but the beauty of it all is that ultimately what we're here for is recovery. It's not to, you know.
You know, but the beauty of it all is that, you know, ultimately
like,
what we're here for is
having
recovery.
A talking stick. We've talked about child care in meeting. We've talked about children in meeting. Like, we've talked about a lot of different things.
You know, having a talking
but ultimately
stick.
What
we've talked
the goal
about child care in meeting.
Recovery.
We've talked about children in
and
meeting.
I think
like,
when
we've
we
talked
keep
about a lot of different things.
No matter what the topic
but
is,
ultimately,
the
what the goal is
to
have recovery.
And if we forget about
and I think when we keep that in mind, no matter what the topic is, the group conscience, we can work through it. And if we forget about that, that recovery is our ultimate goal, then
men's flying around.
Then we break up. We
just
split
lots
into
of
factions. We get mad.
So,
you know, there's amends flying around. There's,
you know, sometimes
just
I
lots
just
of
wonder,
ugliness flying around.
What would it be like if
so,
we were just to suspend judgment? What and if we were just to go,
you know, sometimes
to an OA
I just wonder what would it be like
for one
if we were just to suspend,
just
judgment?
Suspend judgment.
What if we were just
and
to go
that,
to an OA meeting?
That makes me want
to
cry because
for 1 hour.
I know I don't
and
do
just
that.
Suspend judgment.
I know that, and you know, I've been
that,
to meetings where
that makes me
want to
cry because. I know.
I remember
don't
one
do that.
When I had
I know
16
that,
years of abstinence.
You know, I've been
I
to
shared
meetings
that in a meeting,
where,
and then somebody shared. I don't believe. People
I remember
would
one when I had 16 years of abstinence. I shared
I
that in a meeting,
crosstalk?
And then somebody shared. I don't believe all, people
like,
when they say
that
they have 16
unity?
Years of abstinence,
you
which
know,
I know
if
is some, crosstalk.
If you say, "Oh, I'm celebrating 16
it's
years
all,
of abstinence,"
like how is that?
Another time I went to a meeting and I shared.
You know,
if
you say, "Oh, I'm celebrating 16 years of abstinence," or another time I went to a meeting and I shared, and a lady came up to me afterwards and said. I have written
to
notebooks about you. I'm so resentful of you.
Wow.
And I was
and that,
like,
you know, stuff like that.
I've never
I'm
say shit
to
like
you.
That.
Has happened several times.
Wow.
But see, I do that.
And
to
that,
other
you know,
people.
Stuff like
I
that.
Just do it in my head.
I'm gonna say shit like
I recently
that.
Became
has happened several
really
times.
Good friends with somebody in
but
OA.
But see, I do that to
that
other
I've
people.
Kind of been
I just do it in my head.
Thin,
I recently became really good friends with somebody in OA that I've kind of been resentful about.
And exactly, jealousy. And so
she had kids and.
And also just not feel like I,
and
oh, I
exactly,
don't measure
jealousy.
Up. She's better
and
than
so,
me. I don't measure up to her.
And I recently
and
became
just
friends
not
with her.
Feel like
and
I,
we
oh,
call
I
each other
up.
Every week now.
She's better
and
than me. I don't measure up to her.
And
how,
I recently
I mean,
became
I
friends
missed
with
like
her,
7 years of being friends with her
because
of
now,
my own like resentment. So even though like people,
how
you know,
I missed
do
like
it to me, I do it to other people, and so I really
my own like resentment. So even though like people, you know, do it to me, I do it to other people, and so I
really
have been thinking lately.
Like
what
if we
I
just
really
try
to our
listen
for
with
1 hour
ears
when we go to an
not,
OA meeting and just really focus on recovery?
Because everything goes through my
like, what
filter
if I just really try to
either
listen
I
with
it
open
or I
ears
think,
and
gosh,
not...
That doesn't work for me.
Because everything
like,
goes
me.
Through my filter and either I accept
I
it or I don't. I think,
that
oh, that
really
doesn't work
listen.
For me or that does
I mean,
work for me.
Really focus on recovery instead of
what if I was just able to suspend that and just really listen?
Last summer I had a lot of family drama.
Really focus on recovery instead of our differences.
I've been... semi-obsessed with it.
I had a lot of family
a lot
drama.
Of writing and praying and talking to my sponsor. And then at some point, I think you do all those
it.
Things and then you just have to let it go, right?
I'm having a really hard time letting it go.
And then at some point,
sometimes I obsess about it.
Sometimes it's
a way
go,
to beat
right?
myself up.
Oh,
if I'd only
really
acted different, if I'd only done this different, if they only would have understood.
Sometimes it's a way to beat myself up. Oh, if I'd only acted different, if I'd only done this
the thought that occurred to me this morning as I was preparing... to
but
think about what I was going to talk about.
The thought that occurred to me
even
this
with
morning
my family
as I
focused on unity instead of what divides us.
What
if
I
focused
I
on
talk about
instead of the incident that happened over the summer?
On unity
like what if I
what
focused
us?
On the unity
what if
that brings us together
instead of the
what
incident
divides
that happened
us?
Over the summer?
So again, kind of taking
like what if
my
I focused
OA
on the unity that brings us together,
unity into my own life.
So again, kind
what
of taking
I was able
my
to do
OA
that?
Lessons.
I mean,
of unity.
I think there would be some healing
life.
Where there isn't healing now. At least for
what
me,
if I was
maybe
able
not
to do
so
that?
Much for them, but at least for
I mean,
me.
I think there would be some healing where there isn't healing now. At least for me, maybe not so much for them, but at least for me.
So this is I again read goes along with what Ruth read. So unity does not mean uniformity. So in OA, we learn we can disagree with other people on important issues.
So unity does not mean uniformity.
We listen to others with open minds.
We can disagree with other people on important issues and still be supportive friends.
Everyone must.
We listen to others with open minds.
As we practice these new skills, we begin to better understand
everyone must do things our way. As we practice these new skills, we begin to better understand
ourselves and others. It becomes easier to find ways of doing things which meet everybody's needs.
Imagine that, doing things that meet everybody's needs.
The other thing I wanted to talk about was... kind of going back to the open mind idea. So I'm working on a master's degree in counseling.
And one of the most interesting things about that class is it said that in the book that we're reading is that
the
most successful couples are the ones where the partners are able to influence each other. So in other words, if I'm having a discussion with my partner,
I'm influenced by OA.
So I want to continue to be
influenced by OA. I mean, I know there's the tick which you like and leave the rest, but I want to be open. I want to be influenced by what you all have to say. I want us to focus on recovery.
I mean, I know there's the tick which you like and leave the rest, but I want to be open. I want to be influenced by what you all have to say. I want us to focus on recovery.
Because when I think about other people and I make judgments about other people,
focus on our unity rather than our differences. Because when I think about other people and I make judgments about other people, that's focusing on our differences. That's not focusing on our unity, on our common bond of recovery. I think that's all I have. So thank you for listening.